Lauren Conn is a senior lecturer in constitutional and administrative law at UCT. Lauren, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
You've read the judgment.
I have. It was quite hard to get hold of today because it took a while before it was released online, but I have read and applied my mind and I have some thoughts.
Okay, because I don't know whether this is an appropriate question to ask, but it seemed to me that Chief Justice Mogoeng, who authored what was a unanimous judgment, kind of didn't really want to do it because there were plenty of paragraphs in the judgment along these lines. Arguments for the retention of the defence of reasonable and moderate chastisement are understandable, barring anger, frustration, abuse of intoxicating substances. Parents who truly chastise their children on the love-driven religious or cultural bases don't intend to abuse or traumatize their children. Properly managed, reasonable and moderate chastisement could arguably yield positive results and accommodate the love-inspired consequence management contended for by freedom of religion. So it's almost as if he wanted not to find what he did, but Section 12 of the Constitution, which says that you cannot be violent to children under any circumstances, prohibited him and the other judges from going there.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting point. It's interesting that you pick that up because I agree. There is a sense of deep empathy that sort of emanates from his wording towards parents who use it in a reasonable manner, as you say, with you know, good intentions and as loving parents. And it's interesting that he starts off with a biblical quote. I mean, we know him to be a religious man. I don't know if that plays a role. But the other sort of perspective to this is I feel he's been quite loose. They've been quite loose with procedure here. I mean, it's almost like they wanted to decide this matter because I don't know if you've sort of read all the introductory comments on standing and on the right to leave to appeal. I mean, he has freedom of religion essay, which was not a factor party at high court level. And the court goes a little sort of fast and loose here and says that nonetheless, the public interest in this case is such that they should be given standing to take this matter directly on appeal to the Constitutional Court and even further bypass the Supreme Court of Appeal. So in the same breath as, yes, I understand his sort of readiness to find as he does and the deep sense of empathy he holds, which you've pointed out, but at the same time, he seemingly really wants, well, the Constitutional Court has felt the need to ventilate this given the public interest and to make a definitive finding. Because
I did notice that. I mean, probably the first, I don't know, third 40% of the judgment was on those procedural grounds that under normal circumstances, given this, this, and this, we wouldn't be delivering this judgment. But then it comes down to that, and surely this is the kernel of the matter, maybe not in legal constitutional terms, but the kernel of the matter is that this is something of national importance and national interest. So the sooner one delivers the ultimate judgment on it, the better. Yeah. And as a lay person, that approach made sense to me.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this comes at a time when violence against children and women has been sweeping the nation. I mean, sort of one wonders the extent to which that context, you know, is informative here because it seems as though they've wanted to come out with a unanimous voice quite strongly and speak, you know, in this unified tone, given that we, at the moment, it's outlawed in Gauteng, but prior to this judgment, that was it. You know, what about the rest of the country where children are smacked or beaten with a rod or whatever the case might be? And this now definitively states that it is no longer a valid defense to say it's reasonable and moderate chastisement, but that is literally constitutionally invalid, and it's been found to be unjustifiable. And you're right. I mean, you mentioned that it all comes down to the wording of Section 12. And really, I mean, I think there was no way around that because it is so definitive. Freedom and security of the person to be free from all forms of violence from either public or private sources. And in defining violence, they give a basic dictionary definition, never mind the definition of assault. And he says, you know, that necessarily includes a smack on the bum. So how do you get around that definitive wording? And the only way for freedom of religion essay was to win this, was to show that it was reasonable and that the limitation was reasonable and justifiable. And they couldn't show that because I think the evidence to the effect that, you know, their benefits was very weak. And certainly the best interests of the child and the fact that there are less restrictive means when it comes to disciplining children seemed to tip the scales in favor of finding it to be unconstitutional.
Because that was another point made on several occasions through the judgment that even though many parents might lovingly physically chastise their children and not take it to the level of, you know, over consequence, but that there was not sufficient evidence that this provided positive outcomes, and the weight of the evidence was much more on the side of alternative forms of discipline providing better outcomes.
Yes, exactly that. That's exactly right. It seems as though they did not come forward with strong evidence to the effect that it is a benefit. They couldn't show it. And as you rightly say, on the other hand, there is evidence to the effect that it does cause harm. I think at the end of the day, they could not get around the fact that they're less restrictive means. He even postulates those less restrictive means. He talks about how parents should be parenting, you know, that they must educate their children and that they must teach them right from wrong. And, he talks about the do's and don'ts of life, more effective parent-child communication, generally guide their behavior on how best to behave in life. This is the most basic or commonsensical approach. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, this is quite drastic because it essentially means that, you know, someone who witnesses a parent smacking a child on the bum, that person can now take that, you know, lodge a complaint. And, of course, our authorities may then choose to prosecute or not. He leaves it up to law enforcement to determine how to regulate on a case-by-case basis. But essentially, de minimis will come to the aid of these parents who are, as he mentions, you know, well-intentioned and it may not be serious harm. But all it does is basically potentially save them from being imprisoned. It doesn't save them from a criminal record because it is now indeed a crime.
Thank you very much, Lauren Conn, a senior lecturer in constitutional and administrative law at UCT. Sue, I'm going to read your WhatsApp out. I've always been pro-smacking, and I was smacked as a child, and I feel it did me no harm. I have a 5-year-old, and I have smacked her. But I have to say that when I smacked, it really hasn't sat well in my soul, and I felt that I've been teaching her to resolve conflict through something that is violent. I've stopped smacking her. And in the last couple of years, I've used the use of tech time as an ultimate disciplinary tool, and it works like a dream.